Hi, this is Becky Beresford, and this is the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome to another episode of the Radical Radiance Podcast. I am your host, Rebecca George, and I am so excited to introduce you to one of my friends, Becky Beresford, today as we talk about her newest book, She Believed He Could. So she did. It is such a powerful message that I think we all need as women in our culture today. And she just tackles some really important topics and narratives that we see out in the world and how we should answer them with the truth, with the Word of God. And so I'm super thankful that she wrote the book. I was able to endorse the book, and that was such an honor for me. And I'm excited to introduce you to her. So help me welcome our new friend, Becky, to the show. Becky, I am so excited to finally welcome you to the show. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, it's such a joy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm just so excited to talk about this book. This is so my heart and so my heart for this podcast. And I got to endorse the book, which was so exciting for me. And I just am so happy to support you and champion you as you release this book into the world, and just excited to talk about it today. So the title of the book is She Believed He Could, So She Did, Trading Cultures, Lies for Christ-Centered Empowerment. And so I just would love to hear a little bit of the backstory of how you got to the message of this book and why you're so passionate about it.
Oh, yes. Well, I could probably take up the entire episode explaining this story. So I have the cliff notes. But basically, I didn't even know I wanted to be a writer until I was a mom. And I had a heart for discipleship. And so the Lord told me, I want you to try writing a book as a form of discipleship instead of being able to meet with women one-on-one. We have a special needs son, so it just wasn't possible. So I was like, okay, I'll try this writing thing. And so I came up with a book idea, and I pitched this book idea for 3 years. And you know, as a writer, that it is hard. It is a hard thing to put your heart out there. I mean, that's with anything, really. You put your heart out there and you could possibly be rejected. And I was rejected for 3 years. Within those 3 years, there was a lot of stuff going on in our marriage. It was really, really difficult. The special needs parenting journey, very hard. There were health issues. There was all this stuff going on in our family, as well as me trying to pitch this book that was getting rejected. And so my husband bought me this sign, and it said, she believed she could, so she did. And I think he bought it from Hobby Lobby. I'm not quite sure. But that's a Christian store. And so it's in there, and it's meant to be, he was trying to empower me. He was trying to help encourage me, like, keep going. God's with you. You've got this. And so I put that sign on my writing desk, and every time I got a rejection, I would look at it and I'm like, okay, God, I'm trying to believe I can, you know, you're with me in this. And, you know, I'm trying to believe I can get through this hard day with autistic meltdowns. I'm trying to believe I can get through this hard marriage season. I'm trying to believe we can pay the bills this month, like all the stuff. And I didn't feel like I could do it. Like, the more I tried to believe in myself, it did not make me feel better. I couldn't. and so there was this disconnect, and I was just staring at that sign one day, and I was like, it's wrong. And I went and I got a permanent marker. It was a black background sign with the white lettering. And I went and I just scribbled out the S in the she so that it said, she believed he could, so she did. And I'm like, I've been doing this the wrong way. I've been trying to rely on myself and, like, God's in my corner kind of thing. But that's not how it is. She believes that God can. She depends on God, relies on God. And so then she goes ahead and she does what he calls her to do. And it was like a freeing message, because I did not have to be the savior of my own story. I did not have to be the one that makes everything happen. I didn't have to hold everything together, because this is all God's job and I can surrender it to him. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got to do a post. And so what I did is I did a little post with my sign, and the reaction that I got from women was like astounding to me. And I was like, is this a post? Like, or is this maybe a blog post? And God was like, it's a book.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to take that original book that I had been pitching. I had one of my favorite chapters called Dear Empowered Eve. He's like, take that chapter and expand it into a whole book about this subject matter, Christ-centered empowerment. And so I was like, okay. And so that's, and it was just so fast. Like the Lord just opened the doors for this book. It was like night and day, striving versus just settling in and letting Jesus do his thing. And so I just see that sign and I just love it. it's really precious. Yeah. And it's a constant reminder that like, we don't have to do it all. We don't have to hold all the plates. We can surrender it to God. Yeah. And I want this book to be a message of freedom for women to just release it to Jesus and rely on him and his capacity his care for us.
Yeah. That's so good. It's reminding me of that quote that I don't remember the original voice of it, but it's something like, when it's not God's timing, you won't be able to force the door open, but when it is God's timing, you won't be able to shut the door, right? Yes. Like, and so just in total dependency on him, he will orchestrate it. He will make it happen. But when we're the ones striving in our own strength, that's often when we just find ourselves exhausted. And it can be such a subtle shift, right? Like your husband's heart and his intention in buying you that sign was good. He wanted to encourage you. Exactly. And at the same time, that messaging that we sometimes get from the world can lead us to this place of just weariness. And so I wonder, as you think about your own journey, as you think about your reader of this book and just the lies that the culture we live in, the world that we live in has fed us, what are some of those things that you think are leaving us so weary?
Well, so one of the chapters in the book is called You Can Do Hard Things the Easier Way. Because what I do within the book is I go towards all these common phrases, like she believed she could, so she did. It's meant to be empowering. It's well-intentioned. And these messages started in the world, but they're now infiltrating the church. We can hear people in the church like saying these same things, but they're not found within the Bible. And so one of the chapters is the You Can Do Hard Things chapter. And so when I was writing that, I really felt like the weariness we feel is because we are putting these expectations on ourselves that other people are saying that we need to be, you know, like you're supposed to be the boss babe. You're supposed to, you have to have the Pinterest perfect house. You have, and it's funny when they're like, but oh, my house is a mess. And they have like three pieces of clothing on the floor. It's like, no, that is not a mess. You should see my boys' bedrooms right now. That's not true. But like we take these things on that people tell us that we need to be, and we do like the hard things. We're trying to do it in our own strength, which of course is going to make us weary because we're humans and we're imperfect. Like nobody can maintain holding up everyone's world, including your own, without feeling weary. And for me, I'm like a helper. So I want to do hard things for other people too. Like I want to help fix the things. And I, what if people say, hey, can you help me with this? I want to say yes to all the things. And it's really difficult to say no. And I know there's other women out there where it's really, you feel almost guilty for saying no to people and having that boundary, but it needs to be there. And so it was kind of a freeing thing when I was writing this chapter, because I was like, yeah, God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but it's also the things that he calls us to, not what I'm calling myself to. Am I self-appointing myself here? Like to be the savior in this situation, or to help fix this, or to be a part of this and that. It's really important for us to have discernment with the Holy Spirit, what he wants us to do. So it's not even just about doing the hard things in Christ, but what are the things that God wants us to do? Because we will take it on and become more tired and exhausted and feel like we're drowning when God's like, I didn't want you to pick that up. Like you weren't supposed to be a part of that, you know, like other people can help. It's not dependent on you. It's dependent on me.
Yeah.
So that was a big one when I was writing that chapter and about weariness.
Yeah.
It was really freeing.
Radical Radiance is brought to you this month by Christian Standard Bible. Meet your new favorite Bible study companion, the Old and New Testament handbooks. These handbooks contain charts, maps, word studies, and more for each book of the Bible. They intersect beauty, goodness, and truth, and they're designed to last a lifetime as a valuable resource for Bible study, teaching, and ongoing discipleship. I know they are a resource I'll grab off my shelf while studying scripture for years to come. Available in two different cover options for each, buy one, get one free at Lifeway.com with promo code HandbookBogo in all caps. That's Lifeway.com, promo code HandbookBogo. Now back to the show. Yeah, that's so good. Well, and another aspect of this that I think can feel a little confusing because of the world that we live in is we see this narrative of total and complete self-dependency. Go be the boss, babe. Do all the things. Get up earlier. Hustle your way into whatever your dreams are. That type of mentality. Right. And then we look to scripture and we see, you know, kind of this biblical command for doing all things with excellence to the glory of God. We want to pursue doing all things for his glory with excellence. And so how do we delineate the difference, right? Because I think it's possible. I think that's what this message shows us, is that it is possible to do all things for his glory with excellence while also not following that narrative that it all depends on us. So how do we delineate that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, I like to say we can be diligent but dependent on God at the same time. And that's kind of the second half of the book. So I kind of go after the she believed he could. So let's go after these lies that women are believing that make us self-reliant and self-dependent. And then the second half is so she did. And that's the diligent, the walking out of the truths that we know. So, you know, we are supposed to work hard. The Bible does talk about harvest for what we're sowing. You know, we reap what we sow. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good thing. But then when we, like you said, the subtle little shift in our mindset, where then we start to think that everything's dependent on us, that's when we start getting anxious, fearful, feeling overwhelmed. It's a matter of releasing and surrender. So it's like, God, I'm going to use my hands to work hard, but they're also open. They're open to your plans and what you want the outcome to be. You know, we're faithful, but God is the one who will bring the fruit to come. You know, it's not dependent on us, but he also smiles at us when we work hard. And he will honor that. I really, truly believe when we're diligent, he's going to honor it.
Yeah. So good. So, so good. Another piece that I think really matters that you talk about in the book is this idea of truth, which is related to everything that we've been talking about. But in the last few years, I think more than ever in culture, truth has become so relative. Right. And you talk in the book about speaking the truth from the word of God versus speaking your own truth, which we hear that narrative in culture a lot. And I just wonder, how do we make that shift? How do we notice that shift in us when maybe we see it in the world and we're wanting to live a different way? We're wanting to live in a Christ-centered, biblical perspective-centered place.
Right.
How do we notice that shift, you know?
Yeah. So first off, just kind of a disclaimer, the sharing your truth or speaking your truth is about our personal experience. And that's good. We want to share our stories. That's how we connect with each other.
Absolutely.
We can say, oh my gosh, that happened in my life too. That's extremely important. And so sharing your experience is not exactly what I'm talking about. So we share our story. Yep. But in order to experience the true full healing that God has for us, we can't speak our truth into that. Because our truth, like you said, is very relative. It changes day by day. Like I could be like, I'm feeling this way right now. Therefore, my truth is that everyone hates me, you know, like, or like I'm feeling like I'm a failure. So I'm a failure. That's my truth right now. But that doesn't provide healing. That doesn't provide freedom. Yeah. The thing that provides that is the truth, the word of God, how God views us, how he sees us, what his character is, what his promises are. So we have to speak the truth into our circumstances, into our experiences. And that is the transformational piece. And it's interesting because we can know these things too in our head. Like we've heard it all the time. Like I'm a daughter of God. I am chosen. I'm loved. But like, it's another thing to experience it in your heart. And when you speak that truth into your circumstance, it's part of allowing God to do that transformation. Like the Bible says, renewing our mind. And then that will come in and infiltrate our hearts, which then are going to change our actions, you know? So it starts in the mind. It starts in renewing it in truth, and it's in God's truth, not in anyone else's truth or my own truth that I think is, or my perspective, I guess, is a better way to put it.
Yeah, that's really, really good. So good. And I think that just matters so much when we think about this Christ-centered empowerment mindset shift, right? Because at the core of it, it really is this this truth issue, right? If what we believe as truth is that it all depends on us, well, we're going to live like that's true. But if we believe the truth of the word of God, that we get to partner with God in his work in the world, and we're joining him in that, and we are completely dependent on him, then that totally changes the narrative and the way that we live, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that matters so much. So I'm so glad that you talked about that in the book. And one other piece that I think is really interesting in light of culture, in light of the current, I don't know, just narratives that we live in, is this idea that you talk about how the future is found together versus the narrative that we hear a lot these days of that the future is female. I read that and I was like, oh, I'm so glad she talks about this in this book, because it would have been incomplete without it, I think. And so will you share your heart for that?
Yes. I will tell you, honestly, this was probably one of the hardest chapters to write. And it probably was.
I would imagine. That was my first thought.
And it was almost cut. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know we could do this, because it is a hot topic, the male-female relationship. But when you think about female empowerment, we need to address it, especially if we want to have it be Christ-centered. So the idea of the future is female, I understand it. I understand that there's discrimination, that there's been painful ways that women have been treated, and that is valid. And it stinks within marriages, within the church, within society as a whole, within the world. And I think that's part of the fall. So the thing about that is, if we say that the future is female, we are negating half the population. We are kind of doing almost the same thing that was done to us, where we're like, well, we don't need men. We're above you. Like, and we may not be saying that, but if we're saying the future is female without saying it's together, that is kind of under the undertone is, I don't need a man. We don't need men. It's female. Mm-hmm. And so that never works. It never works when one gender feels like they have to elevate themselves and take power and control over another. It never works out well. That's exactly what Satan wants. It causes division. It causes discord and a lot of pain. And so I don't want us as women, and I know God doesn't want us as women, to do the same thing that has been happening to us. So when we look in the Bible, we see what is God's heart for men and women. And it's unity. It's coming together. Yeah. The future is found together in Christ. And if we even think about the way future, when we're in heaven, there's not even male or female there. who's not even like free or slave or Jew or Greek. Like it's all together as the body praising and glorifying God as one. And that's what Paul talks about. There's one spirit, one church, you know, like, so it's oneness, it's togetherness. And that's why the enemy hates it so much. And it is so powerful when we are united together, when we honor one another's giftings and lift each other up. And when we say, I need you, like I can say, I need the men in my life. And the women can say, and they can say, I need the women in my life. And that doesn't make us weak. Mm-hmm. It makes us stronger actually together, because a united front is what's going to win the war. And it's what's going to take down the enemy. Because when we're divided, a divided house cannot stand. And so I just think that unity is the key. If we're moving forward in Christ-centered empowerment, we have to be united together as men and women in our marriages, within the church, wherever, within our communities. We have to stand together, because that is how God designed it from the beginning. We all have the same purpose, the same call, and that is to be disciples of Christ and to follow Christ and to become more like Christ. And so that's it. If we keep our eyes focused on the kingdom and how God wants us to be together for his purposes and for the gospel, then everything else can kind of, you know, float away.
Everything else works itself out. Well, as I was looking just kind of through the outline of the book, I just was so excited for how this whole idea that started with that sign that your husband got you from Hobby Lobby addresses so many of the tensions that we experience as women. And I think, you know, we were having a whole different conversation before we hit record, and I used the phrase, I don't think I had the language then to probably articulate what I'm feeling, but I do now. And we were talking about something totally different. We were talking about the publishing industry, but now as we're talking about this whole idea of women empowerment and Christ-centered empowerment, I think this is a little bit of that, right? Like, I think some of these tensions that feel a little challenging to navigate in culture is maybe because we don't have the language. And so I think one of the powerful pieces of really taking a look at God's word and some of these lies that we believe as women and kind of just really addressing that head on. Well, I hope give the readers of this book just a really clear path forward into how we can have conversations around these challenging issues and how we can live differently because of the gospel, because of the word of God, because of the truth. And so I'm just super thankful that you wrote it. And as I was reading it, as I was thinking about it, it reminded me a lot of what started happening in my own heart when God led me to write Do the Thing, which is my book that came out last year. The full title of it is Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl. And in a similar way, Becky, I saw all of these things bubbling up in my own heart as it pertains to how I was viewing my calling, in light of sometimes culture and the way that those narratives kind of played out in culture as it pertains to our calling. And I actually think that this book, so I'm going to say the title of it one more time, She Believed He Could, So She Did, Trading Culture's Lies for Christ-Centered Empowerment. I actually think that pairs really well with Do the Thing. And so if readers and listeners who have read Do the Thing last year and you're thinking, okay, I have a better grasp on my calling, but this kind of global view of how we view, you know, empowerment in the world, I just could use some like truing up with the word on that. I think this message would really meet that need. And so I'm super excited for listeners to grab a copy of it. And we'll share here in just a minute how they can do that. But before we do, there's a question that I ask all of my guests that come on the Radical Radiance podcast. And it has to do with this passage of scripture that God really put on my heart as I was naming the show. It's Psalm 34, particularly verse 5. And it says, those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered in shame. And so the question I love asking in this season of your life, Becky, is what about Jesus makes you radiant?
That's like the best question. Oh, what about Jesus? He's the best. You know, I think it's his never-ending forgiveness and his grace. He is so gentle that he speaks the truth with gentleness and love, so much so that I don't feel shame around him when I mess up. Yeah. There are so many times when I've been in ministry and the enemy will try to step in because we're not perfect.
Yeah. And
so he'll try to shame me out of it. You shouldn't be here. Look at what you just did. Look how you just talked to your husband. Look at how you just messed up with your kids. Look at what, I mean, you think you can teach on this? Do you see what you just did? And it's just shame and condemnation. And what I love about Jesus and what makes me radiant as I look at him is the fact that he says, I got you covered. Like literally my blood covers all of this. It has from the foundation of the world. He's slain from the foundation of the world for these sins so that I don't have to feel shame. And now there's beauty and repentance, and that's where the transformation comes and the confession. But there's no condemnation in me because I am in Christ Jesus. And so I was reading that right before getting on to this podcast with you, Rebecca, and it was just ministering to my heart again. Like, I just love that Jesus looks at us with grace and forgiveness, and he's got us covered. And so I think that can make all of us radiant.
I agree. Amen. That's so good. Well, I want to give you the opportunity to just share with everyone, where can they grab the book? Where can they connect with you after they listen to this conversation?
So you can grab the book anywhere that books are sold. So Amazon, Christian Book, you can go to Moody Publishers. That's who I'm being published with. And then you can connect with me on my website. That's probably the best, BeckyBeresford.com. And you can sign up to become a part of my Empowered Email Tribe. That's the best way to get updates. And especially with the book coming out, there's going to be a lot of fun things going on. And so there's a sign up button under the Brave Woman tab. And I probably will be messing around with it and make it more accessible for people. But that's how you can sign up to be a part of my email list. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram too.
Awesome. Well, I just have loved this conversation and I'm just so excited about the message of this book and just how God's going to use it. So thank you for writing it. And I'm excited for listeners to get their hands on it. And just thanks for being with me today.
Yes. Thanks for having me on. And thank you for endorsing it. Your endorsement means the world to me.
Oh, of course. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did with Becky. Go grab a copy of She Believed He Could, So She Did, wherever you like to buy books. And hey, if you were listening and you thought about a friend as you were listening to this episode that would be encouraged by this conversation, would you hit the share button and share it with them? When you guys do that, it gets these conversations, these gospel-centered conversations, into the hands of more listeners who need them. And that would be such a blessing to me, and I know a blessing to the friend that you thought of as you were listening to this episode. I'm excited to be back next week as we share another amazing conversation, and I will chat with you then.